Thank you, Lynn, and thank you, Jeff, and all the musicians. Let's just pray. Father, we do want to open our hearts to you this morning, to your work at transforming them. And we ask you to do that work in us now through your word. Would you speak to each one of us, minister to us in the way that you do so, individually and yet as a body at the same time. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today is the third in this series on characteristics of the early church seen in the book of Acts. And thank you, Lynn, for introducing this theme of generosity and some of the facets of that. And we're going to think about four different things. First of all, the model for generosity that we see in the Bible, the manner in which we see generosity, the means to generosity, and the method of generosity, and how these things worked out in the early church, but also how it works out for us today. And I was interested with what Lynn said about what we think of first. I don't know what you think of first when you think of generosity, but certainly for me, it was money. You immediately think of people giving money as the first thing which comes to mind, or many would. And yet, when we read through Acts, we see all these different facets, which we've already heard something of this morning, working together in different ways. I'm glad your dictionary says the same as mine as well, Lynn, because I looked at the definition and came up with freely giving from the dictionary. So it is this sense of giving. I kind of added my own definition to that, which is gladly sharing all we have. And that's what I felt generosity here in Acts is all about. And yes, it doesn't start with money. In fact, the first place we see generosity described in my reading through Acts this week is in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, which is about the sharing of possessions. And here it says, All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, for they shared everything they had. That's in Acts chapter 4. It's very soon after the Holy Spirit had come at Pentecost that we see this sense, first of all, of unity, of being one in heart and mind. And if these people are living for Jesus, they said, then we just share the things that we have. They had a freedom with their possessions that was remarkable, that was notable. And I think if we think about that today, it's quite hard, isn't it, in a society that we're owning things and having our own of something is actually very central to the way that at least the world sees their identity. And there's quite an inertia to overcome in actually getting to this point of freedom that the early church had, where actually we can say, well, what I have is from God and is something that I can share with others. But there's something I think which we have amongst us which we can use at least to help us in that. And I was reminded of the loans and skills register that we have as a church. It was very useful to me a couple of months ago because my father and I share a hedge cutter. And I decided to do the hedge cutting and then looked in the garage and realised that he'd got the hedge cutter at the moment and the weather was right. And I thought, loans and skills register. So there I looked online and there are no fewer than four hedge cutters which members of this congregation have said anyone can borrow. And so I went and borrowed one, which is much better than the one that I share with my dad, got the job done in half the time. So can I commend it to you? It's a great way to at least... one way in which we can share what we have with one another and offer it for those in the congregation so that we don't always have to buy something when we need it on those occasions. Coming back to Acts then, another way in which we do indeed see the early church acting in a generous way is with their money. And if we go here to just a couple of verses further on, it talks about the fact there were no needy and people among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sale, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. And it's perhaps just worth noting there, it was distributed to anyone who had need. As we look later on in Acts and one or two of the specific outworkings of this, it's clear it wasn't just the brothers and sisters. Obviously they took care of their needs amongst them, but it was actually wider than that. This generosity reached the communities in which they lived. And it was very much in line with what Jesus said when he was asked, "Who is my neighbour? Who is this neighbour who we are called to love?" And it is our colleagues. It is our friends. It is our next door neighbours. It is those in our communities and those we come into contact with. And with those, the disciples the apostles distributed those gifts as there were needs. There were also occasions when there was something specific that came up, a particular need. And one of these is described in Acts chapter 11. During this time, one of the prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, called Agabus. And he stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread across the entire Roman world. And this actually happened during the reign of Claudius. And the disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. They did this and sent their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. It's great faith, isn't it? Here was a prophecy that said actually there was going to be a need. So already ahead of this, the church had an offering and set aside money and sent it to where they knew would be the greatest need in Judea, with Barnabas and Saul, to be given to the elders there. So how does this giving of money work today? Well, I guess that obviously there's the giving that happens to the church and the way in which the church uses that to meet a variety of needs. Sometimes collective needs, working on particular projects or with groups of people, sometimes individual needs. And perhaps one of those great examples there is the food bank, isn't it? And here people often give donations of actual food, but also there is financial support in order to make that happen. And then each Friday, this is a working of the churches together here in Leamington and Warwick, which is great. And each Friday then people come to this building and are able to receive those who are in need. So perhaps I just commend that to you. That is so aligned really with the way in which the early church worked. But perhaps that isn't enough. Perhaps we do need to be asking God to make us aware of the needs amongst one another within the congregation. I know that there are people in need today. I know there have been people in need in the past, and I've heard the testimonies of some of those where they have received those gifts, a parcel on the doorstep or something to help them through that time of need. And let's be open to what God puts on our hearts. And also, as a church leadership, we are open to, if you are aware of a need which you feel actually we should be meeting as the congregation, then speak to one of us leaders. That's part of what we're about as Saltersford Church, to share what we have with those in need. Coming back to Acts then, another dimension, another facet of this generosity was the way in which people shared hospitality. And this is a map of all Paul's missionary journeys. And I don't want you to necessarily be able to follow and read all those names. But as I was looking through these journeys, you're really struck by the numerous people who offered Paul hospitality on the way. Sometimes we're not told who he stayed with. On a number of occasions, we're told specifically who welcomed Paul and Barnabas and others into their homes, including some of the names you'll recognize, like Simon the Tanner, Priscilla and Aquila, Philip, Lydia, Jason, and Mnason. These are all named in Acts as people who offered a place to stay and offered food to those who were travelling. And today, it's great, isn't it, that many times we see homes opened and people invited for food and for hospitality when they're in need or when people come to visit. And let me just encourage you in that. That is so much a part of what church is all about. And I know how important that is to you when the Spanish students come each year to be invited into people's homes. And what a testimony that is of generosity. A story I think I've shared before was when I was in America, and I spent a few weeks when I first arrived there. I spent a couple of years there altogether, but looking, visiting different churches. And the thing that really grabbed me was one day when I went to a church. Actually, it was after the service had finished, because I got the time wrong, but they still welcomed me in, and they invited me out for dinner. And it was in that church that I decided to make my home, because it was Ken and Sharon, who were those people who first invited me to dinner, just there on the spur of the moment, who effectively came like parents for me for that time, and their home was always open. And it was a place where I did need to go on occasions, just to have people to share with during that time. So there's something great about that hospitality when it's at work. But it isn't just about meeting the sort of basic needs sometimes, is it? Like for accommodation and food. I think there's an extravagance that we see here. And that extravagance spoke to me from Acts chapter 28. And here, Paul is arriving at Rome. And what we see is the brothers and sisters there heard that he was coming, and they travelled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. Now, when I was reading that, I thought, well, how far is that? And it's actually 43 miles away from where they were in Rome. They travelled 43 miles, which was no mean feat in those days, in order to meet Paul, who was coming. And so, at the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. What a great encouragement to offer to travel that distance to meet someone who you knew was coming to you. And this reminded me of an incident that happened about, it was nearly 20 years ago now, but I'll just share it with you because it had that same sense of a generous and abundant hospitality. And this was when I was in Tanzania. I'm sorry the photo's not that good quality, but we went out to visit a village one day, and we travelled all afternoon out into the bush to this particular village. We were going there to meet with some of the people who work with children and youth, and also to show the Jesus film. And we were a few miles down the road, and the person who was actually guiding us, because navigation's quite a challenge out there, said, oh, we're not that far away now. And just around the sort of next corner, there we saw a whole group of people by the side of the road who were singing. And they'd actually spent the whole afternoon waiting for us there, a couple of miles outside the village. And that's the people that you see here in the picture, who then kind of led us in this dancing and singing procession through that last couple of miles of bush track to the village where we were to be welcomed and stay for the next day or two. And that's just that example, isn't it, of extravagance. I think Ron has spoken something about that today in terms of the support where people, it's not necessarily just the physical and needs that are met, but people actually show that generosity of support and encouragement within the body. Another area then that we see within the book of Acts is the willingness to share people's time and their time to minister. And we see this in lots and lots of places, and it's hard to know which ones to pick. But the ones that just struck me were perhaps those where the Holy Spirit just prompted people to do things, like when Peter and John met and stopped in order to heal a crippled beggar who was by the road. That wasn't what they were doing that morning, but that was clearly what they had time for, and to be generous in the way in which they shared their ministry and the gift that God had given them with that beggar. Philip, likewise, was out when God prompted him to go and talk to an Ethiopian official. And you may remember that he actually got on board this chariot and off they went. I don't know whether he even knew where they were going, but he travelled along with this Ethiopian because he wanted to share with him the good news of Jesus. And they went so far, and he was able to bring this Ethiopian to a full knowledge of faith in Jesus, and then they saw the water and he was baptised. What a wonderful sense of generosity with time, just to go along with someone like that. In terms of the distribution of food in the early church, we know that it was a daily thing. There was a real faithfulness in doing that. And then we also hear about people who are perhaps less well known. There's a woman, Aeneas' wife, called Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor, we are told. And I think when we look at this example of availability in the early church, it's perhaps one of the hardest. I know it's one of the hardest for me in our society today to put into practice, because we live these highly scheduled lives, don't we? And to have that flexibility, that slack with which to just be generous and offer people time when we see a need around us, can actually be quite hard. And I think this is something I'd like to just challenge us on this morning, to think about how we use our time and whether it is right to have some slack within that time. Are we looking to God in terms of how we spend our time? And are we sometimes busy doing things that aren't what the Spirit is prompting us to do, when actually we might be better to have a bit of availability and be open when he does put an opportunity right there in our path at that time? I remember once a friend of mine who he actually gave up his job for a while, and I remember thinking, like, I wonder what he does all day. I mean, this is kind of, I'm used to this busy sort of packed schedule, and he's like, he's sort of got all this time. And he used to just go out for walks. I used to think, no, it's kind of quite nice, but it didn't achieve very much, until I was aware that he came back once and told me about, on his walks, the people who he met and the time that he was able to spend on occasions talking to some of those people, and the opportunities that God had given him through that availability and that openness to the Spirit. And being generous with our time, I don't think does equate just to busyness. It's about being open to following God's heart in that way, as we see in these examples here from Acts. Coming back to the definition, I said that generosity, I felt, was gladly sharing all we have. And it's that all that I think is also evident in the way that whole lives really were devoted to a generous giving in the book of Acts. And we see this here, how the Spirit said, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, he said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." That sense of a whole life being set apart. And of course, we all have a calling on our lives, and it is our whole lives, including our time and our money and our possessions and our homes, that God is actually asking us to be generous with. And sometimes this may even go as far as it did for Paul and Barnabas, where we read that they were men as who had risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were actually willing to put themselves in danger on occasions. And of course, we know how Stephen actually gave his life in order to be true to preaching what he believed. He was martyred, and that story is also told in Acts. And of course, this sense of whole life generosity reminds us, doesn't it, of our Lord Jesus. And thinking of what Lynn described earlier on, there's some great lives that we might think of in history, perhaps like those from the 17th century who Lynn mentioned, which are sacrificial. But the supreme example is our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, this is the backstory to this generosity in Acts. It isn't a model that is a model about the church in Acts, who'd got everything together and we should just model ourselves on them. This is about a generous God who's actually behind that church, and is empowering that church and inspiring that church to live in that way. And it almost does it a disservice to call it a backstory. It's really the front story, isn't it? That there is a generous God who we know through our Lord Jesus Christ. One who in that generosity, in that bounty, he created a beautiful world for us to live in. One who is described in Jesus' teaching, and he is described in that parable of the workers in the vineyard, a parable about the kingdom of God, isn't it? Where there is somebody who hires workers into his vineyard at the beginning of the day and offers to pay them a denarius, and then he hires some more 3 hours into the day and 6 hours into the day and 9 hours into the day, and then he even hires some just for the last hour. And then at the end of the day, they're all paid, and they're all paid the denarius that they agreed to work for. And of course, those who are hired first are cheesed off with this, and they say, well, but these guys, they only pitched up about an hour ago and they've just knocked off, and they get a denarius. And the landowner says, are you envious? Because I am generous. Because that landowner is God, and that is the grace of God. That is the salvation of God. This parable describes the kingdom of God, how he gives that life to whoever will receive it. And it doesn't depend on what we have worked. It depends on coming and receiving from that generous God, from that owner of the vineyard. And we're made in God's image, aren't we? And that's why we're called to be generous like him, in the way that he gave his son, the only son of God. He didn't withhold him, but the Father gave his son to be our Saviour. And the son was obedient to death in order to save us from our sins. Not only that, God then gave his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, as a gift to us to live in us. Well, first of all, we've got that wonderful verse from 2 Corinthians. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. He describes it as a surpassing grace. Indescribable are the words that are used for that grace. But it goes on then, in terms of, in Acts, describes how the Holy Spirit was given so generously by God. And how God, who knows the heart, showed that he'd accepted them, that's the Gentiles. This was at the time when most of the believers were only Jews. He'd accepted the Gentiles, that's everybody else, by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he had done to the Jews. So God there just astonished people. It says they were astonished that God had done this, because they didn't have it in their minds, they didn't have it in their thinking, to be this extravagant in the generosity. But they saw God was giving his Holy Spirit to whoever would accept Jesus. And they realized actually that God's boundaries of generosity are far beyond those which we would ever conceive. So here we have a generous God and a generous church, which is fueled by knowing that generous God. So that's the model. I'd like us to have a think now just about these other things. First of all, the manner of generosity. And the manner is a cheerful heart, I think. In 2 Corinthians 9, it talks a bit about how we show generosity. And it says, talks about a generous gift, not one grudgingly given. We don't give in response to guilt, or at least if we do give, it's not generous giving. We don't give in response to getting something in return, or under pressure or coercion. We give from the heart. And it describes this, that each one should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You see, it reflects, doesn't it, that bountiful love with which God generously gives. If we give with willingness and we give with delight. And it is about an attitude of giving, generosity. It's an attitude which loves to do this, loves the very act of doing this. And I'm going to draw back again on an example from Africa, because I think actually there's something going on in my experience of being in Tanzania, where I saw a generosity in the way that they took up their offering. And it was just last year, actually, when David and Bissy celebrated their wedding anniversary. And part of that celebration, they brought an offering to the Lord. And I remember the dancing and the singing which accompanied that, which is so typical in Africa and just speaks of a cheerful heart, a delight in that act of giving. So thank you for bringing that and sharing it with us right here at Saltisford last year. You see, there's a joy there, isn't there? And these things of joy and generosity go hand in hand. Both the Psalms and the Proverbs speak of how the generous will be blessed. There's a blessing in generous giving. And you won't be blessed with stuff, having lots more things, as occasionally is falsely taught, but it will be blessed with joy in that giving. And it'll be less dressed with a joy and a freedom. And for me, my time that I spent in Tanzania was actually quite instrumental in teaching me something that I'd never really grasped before about a freedom there in giving. Because I used to be really quite picky about giving to someone or something. I used to think, well, how are they going to use it? And are they going to use it well? And are they going to look after it? And what if they waste it? And I was really challenged, actually, that sometimes we have to actually recognize that we are not always the best stewards of the things that God has given us. We sometimes break our things. We sometimes waste our time. We sometimes waste our money. And actually, we can be free of that and we can trust it to other people, that they will also probably sometimes waste some of it. But actually, in that giving, that is where there is joy and that is where there is generosity. Those things go together. And that's what freely giving is about. It's not having all those kind of anxious thoughts as you're giving. It's about just being able to say, yes, take it. That would be my pleasure. And being able to say that from the heart. And of course, that brings a life which is free from being controlled by the stuff and the money, which can become so controlling. Bill Hybels spoke of this. He said that if you want to be truly happy, you won't find it on an endless quest for more stuff. You'll find it in receiving God's generosity. So that's receiving Jesus. And seeing that generosity that he's given us in always, and then passing that generosity along. And so the circle is kind of completed, that this joy or happiness, as Bill calls it, is there in the sharing of generosity. We talked about 2 weeks ago, didn't we, about joyfulness and how joy within the early church was rooted in them knowing Jesus, knowing him risen from the dead, and also in the gift of the Holy Spirit that God had given them. But here we see that working out in all its fullness. As the Holy Spirit works generosity within that early church, and that generosity then brings more joy. And that is just one of the mysteries of the way in which God works, is that generosity brings a joy and a delight that nothing else can. Let's think a bit about the means as well. And the means of giving is sacrificial. That's what we see, isn't it, when we look at Jesus. We see someone who gave himself, not thinking about the pain which he would endure, but rather for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scoring its shame. There we have that joy again. Jesus himself set his thoughts on the joy of reconciling man to God, when he endured the cross for us. And that is our supreme example of sacrificial giving. But we also see that within the early church. There's an example here of the churches in Macedonia, which Paul cites in 2 Corinthians. And he says, Now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace. He's writing to the Corinthians. I want you to know about the grace that's been given to the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Here we again see that joy and that generosity working together hand in hand, don't we? And they were a very poor place, but they were still able to give as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, the privilege of being able to give a gift to others who were in need. You see, it isn't enough, I don't think, just to give something and say, well, that's generosity. It is about finding that heart with the God's help to be able to give sacrificially. And I know it's quite hard preaching on this in a way to a church where, when we look at what is given by the congregation here at Saltisford, it is so generous and needs are provided for. And yet there's something here in the Bible which is saying, actually, we don't measure generosity on what is given. We actually measure it on what is left. And this is a bit of wisdom that George Muller had. He said that God judges by what we keep. You see, it's what we keep, which is what we won't really let go of for God, isn't it? And it's that which makes the difference with sacrificial giving. And yet, I think also here, there's a slight warning that this doesn't mean some kind of recklessness where we start giving that which we don't have. And Paul, just a few verses later in 2 Corinthians, says, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has. You give of what you have and not according to what he does not have. Again, that is perhaps logical when we think about money. Unless you were to borrow, then you can only really give the money that you have. I think what's a lot harder sometimes is with our time, where I know I fall into that trap sometimes of over-committing to things and actually offering time to things that I don't necessarily have. And generosity doesn't mean just saying yes to everything and giving to everything that comes our way, but to actually seek the Lord in how we spend our time and being willing to actually say, I'm sorry, I don't have the time for this at this point in time, if that is the truthful answer. Now, we have to be careful, don't we, that that doesn't actually come with a hard heart, but actually there still is that heart of generosity. And it's the same heart that we saw Peter and John with when they didn't have any money. And they said to that crippled beggar, I'm sorry, I don't have any money, but what I can offer you is the healing that comes in the name of Jesus. And perhaps those are opportunities when we think, well, I don't have this to give. How else, Lord, can I actually be generous in this situation? Can I offer to pray? Can I offer to minister in some way? Is there something else that I can do, or at least just offer an encouragement in that? So, yes, the Bible actually says we are not to give what we don't have. Instead, we are to be generous with what we do. That's the means for generosity. And finally, then, the method. And this is perhaps the easiest, because there is no 1, 2, 3. These are the steps to being generous. We are generous through a relationship of faith with God. We are generous in the power that God gives us. And everything we have ultimately comes from God. And we trust God in his bountiful provision, that he will provide what we need. And it's out of that relationship that we are able to give. That is why I'm so pleased we've actually spent a lot of our worship time this morning thinking about the transformation of the heart and how God will actually put this generous heart in us. It's not something that we can conjure up in our own strength. It comes from knowing God and worshipping him. And this is how it's described by Paul. This, if you like, is the method of generosity. And he says, now he, that's God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. And there we have that sense, don't we? This isn't just about a gift to God's people, but there's an overflowing expression of gratitude. And because of the service by which you've proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. It has knock-on effects. Others will give thanks to God. Others will receive the gospel of Christ through that generosity. So let's come to God as our source on this. Let's be honest with God. If there's times when we actually don't feel like giving, we think we ought to, but we don't feel like it, then talk to God and say, "That's how I'm feeling." Don't just soldier on if we perhaps lost that cheerful heart in our giving. But stop and acknowledge this. Come to God and talk to him that he would give you the heart of generosity that means that the giving that we have will overflow in expressions of thanks to him. And let's not be tempted to hold back that which we can have. Let's ask the Lord to help us to give that to him, gladly sharing all we have. And I think with that verse, we'll close. Let's close in prayer and come and ask God to do that amongst us. Lord God, you are a generous God. You've shown it us in so many ways, and most of all, you've shown it us by giving us your only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. Thank you for what you endured. Thank you for your giving, which doesn't have boundaries, that is so bountiful and generous and gracious in so many ways. And thank you that not only have you given us a Saviour, but you've given us your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Saviour. And we ask you to fill us with that Holy Spirit, that we too would have the power to be generous as you are generous, that we would be in step with the Spirit, that we would see in what directions you want us to share what we have received from you, and to pass that on in generosity to others, that they would also share in the joy of knowing a generous God. Lord, we ask you to do what we can't do ourselves, and that is to work this in our hearts. And this is a big prayer, but we ask you to do this and work this in the coming days and weeks, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.